let's welcome our lead pastor, Eddie Swan.
Well, good morning.
Is what we say every week. This is the Word of God. I will choose to believe it over my circumstances. Stop. How often do your circumstances try to tell you something that is in opposition to that thing you're holding in your hand? I'm going to choose to believe what that says over what that says. That's what we're saying, right? I'm going to choose to trust it, the Word of God, whether I see the results immediately or not. This is God speaking to me today in Jesus' name. And the people said, amen. That's an enthusiastic amen. And we started a new message series last week entitled Clothed. I don't even like to say that word. It's hard. Clothed. This is a study through the book of, or the letter to the Ephesian church. And I told you last week just a couple of reminders about the Ephesian letter that I think are pertinent for your information again this morning is throughout the letter to the Ephesians, we find many promises about these things. First, who we are. I want you to know your identity in Christ is of the utmost importance to your walk with God. If you don't know who you are in Christ, the enemy will try to convince you you are something else. Know who you are. Secondly, we find what we have. I want you to know there are, throughout the book of Ephesians, throughout the Bible, there are a lot of things that we now have and own as part of our relationship with God. We're going to talk about some of those things today, as a matter of fact. And then lastly, in the book of Ephesians, what we're called to go and do based on our relationship with Jesus. So my goal in this series is to give you a better understanding of what you already have. I'm not telling you things. If you're a Christian, man or woman, young or old, you already own these things. What I'm trying to do here in this series is to get you to change your perspective. And if you'll change your perspective or the things that you're focusing on, I promise you your spiritual life will change. Thank you for that, the three amens. Now, real quick, the book of Ephesians was written by the Apostle Paul while he was in a Roman jail cell around 60 AD, about 27 years after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus. The city of Ephesus, do you remember where it's located? In the which country is it now?
Turkey.
The three turkeys in the front got it. It's the country of Turkey now is where Ephesus would have been. And so a very pagan city. It was a coastal town. A lot of transient people would come there because of the trade and so on. But it was also a pagan city. It was a monument to the goddess Diana in the heart of the city. Remember, it was part of the Roman Empire. And so a very worldly place, kind of like the place we live in now, right? The Ephesian letter also is known in theological circles as a circular letter. It's a letter that was not written to one church in particular, but instead to a region of churches. And the Apostle Paul wrote it, sent it with a person who would take it from church to church and read the contents of the letter so that the churches would begin to grow and understand more about these three important pieces. So the letter is broken up into three major divisions. The first one is our spiritual possessions, the who we are. The second part is our spiritual position. The first one is our spiritual possessions is what we have. Spiritual position is who we are. And the third part is our responsibilities in Christ. This is the what we're to do, right? What we're called to go and to do. Week number one, last week I talked to you about that I believe the entire book of Ephesians is really kind of wrapped up in, the theme really is found in Ephesians chapter 4, and I talked to you about that last week. Verses 17 to 24, Paul talks about the literal changing of our spiritual garments or changing of our spiritual clothing. And if we're going to receive what I'm talking about here these weeks through the book of Ephesians, we're going to have to make a change spiritually in our lives. Remember that this letter was written to the church. You get that? Written to the church. Now, you say, well, I'm in church. But if you're in church and you're not the church, you're not really going to understand, and this letter is not applicable to your life. What do I mean? You can come to church without being part of the church. In other words, has there been a day when you asked Jesus Christ to save you from your sins? You confessed and professed Jesus as Lord. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 tell us that if we want to get saved, here's what we're to do. We're to confess with our mouth Jesus as what?
Lord.
Oh, not just Savior, not just save me, but we have to confess Jesus as Lord, believe God raised him from the dead, and then what happens? We'll be saved. We confess Jesus as Lord. We believe it in our hearts. We confess it with our mouths. There has to have been a day that happened in your life for you to have and receive all the things that I'm talking about in the letter to the Ephesians. Matter of fact, in the entire New Testament, for you to have and receive any of those things, there has to have been a day when this happened. Week number one. I already talked. I talked about week number one, making this spiritual change of our clothing. And I told you that this, I remind you that change doesn't happen until you decide to make a change. And if we're going to make spiritual change, it's going to start with a decision to change. The second thing is that in order for you to make the change or to enact the change, you have to then come up with a plan to change. How many of you ever started off on a New Year's resolution to do something or not do something? And you get about 2 weeks into the year and you done gave up already. Why? Because you didn't make a plan. I've had people tell me, yeah, this year I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And 2 weeks, I'm like, how you doing on your resolutions? Well, I didn't quit that already. Well, what happened? I don't know. Well, what was the plan? Well, I didn't really have one, which is why you failed to begin with. A failure to plan is a plan to. You've been in that class too, huh? And then lastly, I told you last week that you have to put on the change by taking some actions to change. We have to begin to perform. Now, we don't perform to be saved. We are saved by grace through faith. But we perform these spiritual actions in order to let the stuff that we say we believe kind of sink in. Spiritual disciplines, they're called, right? And I know when I say the word discipline, people, you turn me off. Discipline, I'm out. I don't want anything to do with discipline. We think of discipline as punishment. We think of discipline as something negative. But I want you to know, spiritual disciplines are necessary to your spiritual walk with God. And if you want to have a change spiritually in your life, you better get discipline. You know, the root word of the word disciple comes from the word discipline. Oh, we don't want to hear that. Today, I want to talk to you about the fact that we're clothed with blessing. Whew, thank God he's getting off of this change thing. So let me ask a question as we get started this morning. How many of you would say you desire to be blessed by God? Want some of that? Where's that line at? Most people, even Christian people, we still quantify the word blessing as being endued with something of value. If my bank account is full and I got the car I want and the clothes I want and the woman I want or the guy I want and things are good according to the standard of this world in my life, then I consider my life blessed. But if those things that I have deemed valuable are not part of my life, then all of a sudden I have deemed myself not blessed. Being endued with stuff is a true statement. That is what blessed means, to be endued with stuff of value. The problem is the things of value that you think are valuable are not that valuable. And the things that you don't even think about, you already own, are the most valuable things in the world. And if you just change your perspective, you'd start thinking differently. And by thinking differently, you start acting differently. And all of a sudden, you walk around with your head held high because you know you're a blessed person, right? This side of the room's on getting me. I'm not sure about y'all. Y'all with me, huh? All right. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Everything we're going to study today really is found right here in these seven verses I'm going to read to you. Your entire blessing from God is right here in seven verses. Here we go. Ephesians 1, verse 3. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his pleasure, his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ. Now, in verse 3, put verse 3 up there for me. In verse 3, we see the word blessed. It's the Greek word eulogio, if you were to look it up in the original language, and it means to endow or to prosper. So you see, it does mean having something of value. The difference is, as I told you a moment ago, what is valuable, really valuable to you has to change. If real value only comes in earthly things, you have a skewed idea of value, a skewed idea of what real blessing is and looks like. Today I want you to discover that regardless of what earthly things that you already own or you don't own, however financially blessed you think you are or you think you're not, based on, by the way, the standard of this world we live in, according to God's standard, you are spiritually blessed beyond measure. And therefore, you already have everything that you'll ever need and everything that you'll ever want according to God's economy, not the world's. Now, in verse 3, we read Paul saying the words, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." Why does he say praise be to God? Well, look at what he says in verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us." I want you to know, you need to underline those three words, "has blessed us." It is a past completed action. It's already done. The "us" he's referring to, again, is the church, right? I told you a moment ago, in order to have the blessings contained in here, we must be part of the church. We must have had a day where we confessed Jesus Christ as Lord and believe God raised him from the dead. There must have been a day that you said yes to Christ. If that day hasn't happened, listen to me, in a moment, all you have to do is say, "Jesus, I'm confessing you as Lord and Savior of my life, and I'm asking you to save me from my sins." And guess what? It's done. Just like that. And then what happens is, the next thing we read is that we are then transitioned from who we were to this new person in, and this is what the Bible refers to us now as being in Christ. Say, in Christ. See, when you've confessed Jesus as Lord, you're now positioned in Christ. And everything that we will read and study in this letter, really throughout the entire New Testament, is found, we have to be in Christ in order to have it and in order to receive it. It's only from the position of being in Christ that you have access to all that is contained in here. So what are we spiritually blessed with? What has God already given us that we just happen to gloss over, quit thinking about, or just completely don't understand and miss sometimes because we're short-sighted, right? I'm going to give you, in these seven verses we just read, four spiritual blessings. Four spiritual blessings that can literally change the way you live your life. The first one, the proof of your blessing is that first you are chosen people. Listen, say, look at your neighbor and tell him, I'm chosen. Ephesians 1:4 says, for he chose us in him. Now the him is Jesus, right? He, God, chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. This is beautiful. Think about it. He chooses us in Christ before the foundation of the world, before the world was formed, before your parents even knew each other, before they considered even having a child, before the pregnancy that contained you even happened. You were already in God's radar. He already had you on his mind. He already thought of you, and he chose you. Now, most of us live in a world where we're quite used to this thing called rejection. Anybody in here ever been rejected? Yeah, some of y'all were willing to raise your hand, and the rest of us are still scarred by the rejection, so we don't even put our hand up, right? That's what happens, is rejection scars you, makes you feel less than, undesirable, kicked to the curb, so to speak. And I want you to know we live in a world where we're rejected. We're rejected in job opportunities. We're rejected in relationships. We're rejected from organizations and clubs. And our rejections are usually based on some earthly criteria where someone doesn't feel we measure up to the standard they have set or deemed necessary to be a part of whatever we're rejected from. Do you get all that? Now, that's the beauty of our relationship with Jesus. We are never rejected from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. And to drive the point home perfectly, Paul says, not only are you never rejected, but you are chosen. Who remembers recess in school? That's not part of your job. That's at school. I remember recess when I was a kid. We would play games at recess, and we would, and all the boys would form teams. And the teams would, usually the most athletic guys would choose the teams. They'd be the team captains. And then I feel sorry for the poor little nerdy guy who was stuck over on the side just waiting for and hoping somebody would choose him. If you were that guy or that girl, I'm sorry. But listen to me, you're never that guy or girl today. And God says, no, I'm choosing you first. You see, the world rejected you, but I chose you. I chose you first. You're that valuable and that important to me. Before the foundation of the world, God chose you. So much so that he sent his son to die in your place so that he could have a relationship with you for eternity. That's pretty powerful. So if you ever feel like you're being rejected by mankind, remember your Creator chooses you first. I want you to get this. And he didn't choose you because he didn't have another choice. He didn't choose you because, well, I guess you'll be the consolation prize. No, he chose you first. He chose you because, listen, the Bible says that we're the apple of his eye. That's a pretty important position, and God looks at you as the apple of his eye. But get this, he also chose you to be, according to Ephesians 1:3, holy and blameless. Now, he chooses you this way because, listen to me, he makes you this way. I want you to just wrap your head around this. In 1999, on a Thursday, I was lost. In September 1999, I was lost on a Thursday. On Saturday morning, I'm driving to the gym to meet my friends. I'm contemplating a dream that I have been having all week about God, and God says to me, I'm calling you. And at that moment, in my lostness, in my car,
I confessed Jesus as Lord and I received Jesus as my Savior at that moment, right? At that moment, I became holy and blameless. Although I had yet to do a holy and blameless act, I was still a heathen, according to the world standard. All of a sudden, though, because of now my new position in Christ, I became holy and blameless. I want you to know he looks at you and he calls you holy and blameless. So when you look in the mirror, don't get upset because you don't think you look holy or you don't think your actions lately have deemed you holy enough. I want you to know you're not holy because of anything you do. You're holy because of what he did. You're chosen. The second proof of your blessing is that you're adopted. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. Now, the word sonship, as used in verse 5, is the Greek word huthosia, and it's the definition is the placing as a son or a child. The adoption spoken of here literally means with all the rights and privileges of a natural child. So I want you to get this. Everything that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has as an heir of God, if you're in Christ, you also have those same things. Everything that's available to him is available to you if you're a child of God. Three people got it. Now, listen to me. So often we think, for some reason, our past, anybody got one of those, a past? So, listen, hold on. We all think somehow our past disqualifies us from a real walk with God. Well, Pastor Eddie, you could have a walk with God, but I got a real past. Let's compare notes. Trust what I'm telling you. Your past ain't no worse than mine, believe me. You might hear mine and think you a saint. Yes, you are. Your past does not disqualify you from your position in Christ. Not only does your past not disqualify you, but neither does your present, and neither does your tomorrow and whatever mistakes you'll make today or tomorrow. Those things can't disqualify you either, because listen to me, if our past or our present or our future could somehow disqualify us from this relationship or my sonship with God, then that would mean that the cross of Christ had exclusions and exceptions. Anybody bought homeowners insurance lately? Isn't that fun, right? Especially here in South Louisiana. Do you live south of I-12? If you live south of I-12, God bless you, because like your insurance just went up drastically. I know a guy lives south of I-12. His little house is probably worth, you know, $250,000. His insurance is $14,000 a year. His homeowner's insurance. I was getting a quote last year, and a guy on the phone told me my insurance was going to be $14,000, and he wanted to know if I was ready to sign up. And I said, "You got a crack pipe over there?" I will go uninsured before this happens. Yeah. There are no limits and exclusions like on your homeowner's policy on your walk with God. He doesn't go, "Hey, you're covered except for that sin. You're covered except for that attitude. You're covered except for, well, you know, you did that. I mean, other than that, you're good," right? No, listen to me. He died for the sins of the whole world, including all yours, past, present, and future. There are no limits and exclusions in your walk with God. You know, there are some cultures that if a child in a family does something against the family, changes religion, does some terrible thing, they literally disown the child. Muslim culture is one of those cultures. They can disown that you're no longer my son, you're no longer my daughter. Listen to me. That may happen in the natural, but it never happens in the supernatural. Jesus is not ever looking at you saying, you really did it this time. It was nice knowing you. Good luck finding another place to live because you're out the family. That would mean that our relationship with God was provisional. Now listen, the word provisional just simply means arranged or existing for the present but due to change. Listen, you're either a son or you're not. You're either a daughter or you're not. And God is not schizophrenic when it comes to his relationship with you and I, and he's not changing. You're adopted. Say, I'm adopted. Number three, you are highly favored. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 6. Here it is. I want you to see the words that highly favored right there in the verse. Do you see it, everybody? Got it? Raise your hand when you see it. No, that's not it. All right, here it is. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. The words freely given in the original language is one Greek word. It's charitu, and it means highly favored. Not just favored, highly favored. If you're in Christ, God calls you highly favored. He didn't just adopt you. He didn't just call you a son or daughter. He didn't just choose you, but here he takes our choosing and our adoption to a whole nother level. He says, not only did I give you a room in the house, I gave you the best room. Not only did I give you a seat at the table, I gave you the best seat right next to Pastor Eddie. I don't just call you a son or daughter. I call you my favorite child, my favorite son or daughter. How many of you think you're the favorite at your house? You know what? I honestly can't say that. I'm not the favorite. I know. I wish I was. I'm not the favorite. Do you feel sorry for me? If you've been around here long enough, you'll hear me say often, I'm God's favorite. Now, when I say I'm God's favorite, I don't want you to take offense. Could people take offense to that? You always say you're God's favorite. What about me? Thank you. Would you like to come up here, Karen, and preach with me? You're taking the wind out of my sails, Karen. See, when you begin to understand where you stand in the family, you will know that you're God's favorite too. He looks at you and he calls you his favored child. Not only his favorite, his highly favored child. So when I say from now on that I'm the favorite, you can say me too. Right next to Pastor Eddie, right? After Pastor Eddie. Because I am the favorite. I mean, it's just, you know, is what it is. You're highly favored. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, I'm the favorite. And number four. All right, right here. Let's go. All right, enough of that playing around. Come on. So you give them a little bit of rope, and they just run with it. They run with it, you know. Yes. The last proof of your blessing is that you are redeemed. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7 says, in him, in Jesus, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. The word redemption is the Greek word apolytrosis, and it means ransomed in full, or the complete payment has been made on your behalf. You see, between holy God and sinful man, there was a huge breach, a chasm, if you will. And the chasm had been placed there by man's sin. Mankind choosing his ways as opposed to God's ways. That's all sin is choosing our desires and wants over what God desires and wants. And in the Garden of Eden, thank you, Eve, right? Right, guys? Thank you, Eve, for doing what you aren't supposed to do. You caused this problem for all of us. Amen, the guys say. I want you to know, in the Garden of Eden, God said to Adam and Eve, you can eat from any tree in the garden, just not the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. You know why they didn't need to eat from the knowledge of the tree of good and evil? Because there was no need to know good and evil. They lived in a perfect place. They were in a perfect environment. There was no need to know right and wrong because there was no right and wrong. It was perfection. And then the enemy comes in. He whispers in your ear to get you to begin to doubt God, to begin to question God. You know, he's been doing that ever since the Garden of Eden. So the next time the enemy comes in and he starts whispering in your ear to get you to doubt God, to doubt God's word, to doubt God's presence, to doubt God's calling or direction in your life, just tell him, I've heard enough. Get out away from me. I'm not listening anymore. God created them in perfection, and when they doubted, they caused a chasm. The chasm has people have been living in. We, humankind, has lived in with this chasm between holy God and sinful man ever since. And throughout history, people have found ways to sacrifice to God, to appease the wrath of God, to make God a little less angry, even for a moment, and they would do it. And it always took care of God temporarily. Until Jesus. Until Jesus went to the cross and paid a price he didn't have to pay, and he paid it with his perfect, spotless, sinless blood so that you and I could have an eternal relationship with God, never to question it again, never to worry about it again, and to have the assurance of knowing that when I take my last breath on the earth, the next breath will be in the presence of Almighty God in heaven for eternity. The Bible calls Jesus' sacrifice an all-sufficient sacrifice. This is what that means. It would never have to be made again. It could never be made again, and it won't ever be made again. It was a one-time sacrifice. And all we have to do to have the benefit of the redemptive process or the redeeming process is simply receive it. Simply thank God for it and walk out with it. Amen? He chose you, adopted you, calls you highly favored, and he paid a price for you. Would you stand with me? Today I am asking the spiritually blessed people of New Beginnings Church to join me here at the altar, bringing an attitude of gratitude and saying, thank you, Jesus, for all that you did for me on the cross. Would you come and join me? Come on. I'm talking to blessed people this morning. If you are part of the blessed people, would you give Jesus a clap? Come on. Heavenly Father, we come this morning, God, with just this attitude of gratitude, saying thank you for all that you did for me on that cross. I pray that prayer is for every one of us in here today. What you did for me personally, when you chose me, when you adopted me, when you redeemed me, and when you called me your highly favored son or daughter. I thank you for who you are, God. Thank you for all that you've done. Now, God, as we go today, I pray that every time that the enemy attempts to whisper in our ears all that he wants to tell us we're not, that we'll remind them of all the things that we already have and we already are, according to your truth, according to your word, and we're going to stand on that from this moment forward in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful Sunday. See you next week.